Hear these words of God from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carla. I always appreciate it when somebody in the choir does the liturgist piece, because you get to watch them kind of run like, whew, whew. So, Carla told me she put her sneakers on this morning, and she was ready for it. Well, as we wind down Pastor Appreciation Month, I want to thank everybody for all the different cards and gifts, and my wife and I just feel so blessed to be here. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. I do want to lift up the great staff that we have here at First United Methodist Church. I'm just so pleased to work with all of our staff people. The last year, I think many of you know, it's been kind of this movement from this COVID world into this new world that we're in, and our staff has just risen to the occasion in so many ways, and so I just continue to be honored to work with all of them, and we're just a great team. So this pastor appreciates being part of a great team. Thankful for all of them. Well, as we get older, we can sometimes forget what we were like as children. Fair, right? Especially when we've raised children, you know, some of us raising grandchildren, right? We get a second try. Something about that process of raising kids, I think, kills a lot of our brain cells as adults, right? Amen? And we tend to maybe forget what we were like as youngsters after raising our own. But regardless of how good you told your kids you were, you pushed the limits sometimes, didn't you? You kind of pushed those limits just like they did, just like your kids might have pushed the limits, right? It's not too hard for me to remember some examples of times I didn't do what I was supposed to do as a child. I remember pushing the limits on things. I remember being told to do one thing, and then I did the exact opposite thing. I remember being warned, hey, if you do this, it's not going to work, but I did it anyways and found out myself that it didn't work, right? But then you grow up. You're a kid, then you grow up. Maybe you have kids of your own, and that's what we call payback, right? Like you get payback for your behavior when you were kids. But all that you really wanted, all that I really want, all my parents wanted from me was to help me build a strong foundation in life. Have a strong foundation. A foundation that we can actually build the rest of our lives upon as children. That's what we want for our kids too. And so this is Jesus' metaphor that he's using for people who are trying to figure out what life is really all about. What is this life about? Your life is like a house. Your life is like a home. And you can build your house upon some things that are going to place you in a good direction. You can place that house upon some things that are going to lead you in a not so good direction. And the direction you go in life is based on your decisions. The decisions you continue to make. Your life is still going in a direction. And these decisions that you make in life are based on your values and your goals, and therefore we might say a lack of values and goals. Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me, who hears my words, who puts them into practice, they're like a person who builds their house on the rock." There were many reasons people came to Jesus. Some people came because they wanted to be healed. They wanted a doctor. Jesus was their best option. Some people came because they were hungry. And they wanted to be fed. And they heard this guy can take a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish, make it into lots of bread, lots of fish. He can take water and make it into lots of wine, good wine. Others wanted to be around him because they knew he had this growing popularity. And they thought some of the perks would just kind of flow their direction. Some of that good would start to fall upon them of all the things that was happening for him. So Jesus ministered to people in some of those ways. Most definitely, that was part of his ministry. But he realized that much of the pain people experienced in life ultimately was due to their beliefs, their values, and the corresponding decisions they would make upon those beliefs, values, or lack of beliefs and values. So Jesus says, stop building your house on the sand. Or you could expect the storms of life to continue to just kind of push your house over. It'll topple. Instead, build your house on the rock where you can weather the storms of life, the torrents that come your way. This morning, I want to share with you three ways to build your house on the rock. And I'm also going to mention some great Christian evangelists who taught these things as well, who lived out these very things. What better people to help us understand how to build our house on a firm foundation than these great Christian people that came before us? So the first thing that we can do is we can have the Word of God as the foundation for our homes. The very foundation is the Word of God. Hebrews 4, 12, 13, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." You know, it's kind of funny. I think when we hear the phrase, and he said it, right? When we hear this phrase, Word of God, the Word of God, we heard it in the passage, we think of the whole Bible, right? We think of this Bible. And yet, when this was written, like the whole Bible wasn't even created yet. This is one of the things that would end up going into the whole Bible. And so the Word of God, as described here, is this divine inspiration. It fills people's hearts in order for the Bible to have been written, to have come together. God's voice is alive within the Scriptures. And when you read those Scriptures, He speaks to you too. It's the living Word of God. That's why we call it the living Word of God, because He still speaks. And God's Word isn't just the words in the Bible. It's the direction that you receive when you read the Word of God. The Word of God speaking into your life, into your heart. Once again, remember, it judges the heart. It judges the heart. Timothy Keller, he's a pastor, author, speaker. He's in the Reformed tradition. He said, "Look at Jesus Christ. Every time he was in trouble, he used the Word of God. When he was tempted, he used the Word of God. When he was suffering on the cross, he used the Word of God." And so Jesus taught in these new and fresh ways, but his foundation came from the Hebrew Scriptures, which he was taught since the time he was a child. And so whenever he struggled, whenever Jesus needed strength, he went to those Scriptures. He remembered those Scriptures. He had memorized them, and he shared them often for himself, for the benefit of others. George Mueller was an evangelist in England in the 1800s. He said, Now what is food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds, just as water passes through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering it, and applying it to our hearts, right? Letting the Word get in here. And so Mueller said that the Word of God for the spiritual person is as essential as food for the physical person. If you don't eat, you wither away and die if you don't eat food. And I think that's a fair comparison for the Christian man, for the Christian woman. Your spirit feeds on the Word of God, and if you don't read it, then your spirit can suffer. Your spirit can atrophy. It is the foundation of our knowledge and relationship to God. You know, Mueller, he came to this realization actually later in life, even though he was raised in a Christian home, a very Christian home. Before the age of 14, he would later say about himself that he was a thief and a liar and a heavy drinker and a gambler. That's pretty good for the age of 14. I mean, you all might have had some rough kids. You might have had a rough childhood, but that sounds like a really rough childhood. So on top of that, all those things, right, he goes, being that kind of person, he goes to seminary. Why did he go to seminary? Well, because that was a great place to get a good education in those days in the part of the country that he was in. And so he went to seminary. As a seminary student, his life didn't change too much from that. Fortunately, something changed in him while he was having the seminary experience. Here is what he would say happened. Despite my sinful lifestyle and cold heart, God had mercy on me. I was as careless as ever. I had no Bible and had not read any scripture for years. I seldom went to church. And out of custom only, I took the Lord's Supper twice a year. I never heard the gospel preached. Nobody told me that Jesus meant for Christians, by the help of God, to live according to the Holy Scriptures. I don't know how he missed that, but I guess he missed it. But that was the beginning, realizing that for him, it was the beginning of a change that would lead him to become a pastor and an evangelist, but not just a pastor, not just an evangelist. In that time, England had an enormous amount of orphans without parents who were homeless. Mueller would go on to create the Ashley Down Orphanage. And he would care for over 10,000 orphans in his time. He would create over 117 Christian schools to provide an education to children who may not have received one otherwise. And many wealthier people in England in that time, good Christian people, actually complained about the work that Mueller did. Complained about it. They accused Mueller of raising the poor above their natural station in British life. He helped them do this. Natural. Natural. What was natural was to leave the poor as poor because they were born poor. So that must be where they need to stay. But Mueller had built his house upon the foundation of the Word of God. He had committed himself to it, the reading of it, the understanding of it, the placing of it in his heart. And the Word of God spoke to him and said not to just be a pastor, but to care for orphans because Scripture commands it. And so he did it. And unless you have the Word of God as your foundation, you will always do what seems natural to you. And sitting in church most Sundays may not change that. It didn't change it for Mueller for a very long period of his early life. But sitting in church because it's a part of how you strengthen your understanding of the Word of God will have a lasting effect upon us, a foundational effect. So build your foundation on the Word of God and then build that frame of that house with your faith. Frame that house out with your faith. Hebrews 11 says this. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Church, faith in God means you trust him. It means you obey him. You know the word of God. You obey it. It's not just good information. It's a request. And it calls upon you. And you put your faith in him. And he directs your path. You know, God told Noah and Abraham to do things without actually providing them any assurances that they would land in a positive place. I just need you to go do it. God's assurance is his word. That's his assurance. You taking God at his word is called faith. It's called living by faith. It's called organizing your life and your way by faith. Adrian Rogers was a Southern Baptist pastor, longtime president of the Southern Baptist Convention, primarily in the 70s and the 80s. He simply said, "A faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted." In other words, you learn to have faith in God by stepping out. You got to step out. And if you don't ever step out as a result of your faith, then you actually have very little trust in God if you will not step out. So if you want your house to have large, strong walls, then learn to step out as a result of your faith and of God's leading. Watchman Nee was an evangelist in China in the 20th century. Nee said, "Faith looks not at what happens to him, but at him who believes, whom he believes." So Nee believed that the true faith was not built upon life's circumstances, but based upon God's character. Even when things are hard or life doesn't seem to go your way, you can trust in God. That he is directing you. God is with you and he will not let you down. In 1924, the age of 21, Watchman Nee was a young pastor, evangelist. He had nearly worked himself to death by not taking care of himself. Worked himself hard, got really sick. He developed tuberculosis of the lungs. He was so sick that rumor began to spread that he had actually died of tuberculosis. And by all rights, in those days, like most people did, young, old, it didn't matter. You got tuberculosis deep in your lungs, and it could be it. But Nee survived tuberculosis only by the grace of God. He knew the Lord had saved him from his sickness, had delivered him from it. During his time of sickness, he knew God had helped him clarify what his ministry, what his life would be all about. He heard the word of God speak to him. And later, you know, not shortly after that, he would recount a fourfold ministry that he felt God calling him to in China. First, that he would write books to help develop Christians because there just weren't many in China in those days. Second, he would create a group of leaders in every church called the Overcomers. And the Overcomers became super evangelists in the entire nation of China, at his direction. Third, he would build up the local church, which did not have much of a presence in China at that time. And last, he would train up youth in the Christian faith and find ways to do that. Nee, in many ways, was to 20th century China what Billy Graham was to 20th century United States. Unfortunately, the rise of the Chinese Communist Party in 1949 cut Nee's ministry short. Nee spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. He was brought up on false charges in order to shame him, in order to shame his work and make him look bad. They even went so far as to take his friends and his family, and they told him, "Look, you have two choices. You either go into the court and you accuse him of these things that we know he didn't do, but you're going to say he did it, or you're going to go to prison." Like him, because that's how the Communist Party dealt with those things, with lies. Nee died in his prison cell because he was faithful. That's where he died. When he died, there was no funeral, there was no great announcement to the nation, all these people that he had passed, that he had touched. Eventually, a family member was allowed to come pick up his ashes and a few of his things that were remaining. Nee left a short note underneath his pillow that was given to his family member. And the short little note said this: "The truth is, Christ is the Son of God who died for the redemption of sinners and resurrected after 3 days. This is the greatest truth in the universe. I die because of my belief in Christ." God had great plans for Watchman Nee. He had great plans for him. And Nee was faithful to those plans to the very end. He built large, strong walls in life that caused him to fully trust in God and to trust in his faith. And it actually built up the movement in 20th century China that today is the local church movement. God calls you to build similar walls of great strength and great breadth. Your life may not end in persecution like Nee's did, but if you have great faith, God will help you through whatever circumstances fall into your life. So, build this foundation with the Word of God. Build these walls with your faith in God. And last, cover your home with love. Cover your home with love. Let love be the roof of protection for all that dwell in your home, all that dwell in your life. Love is a vital roof over your home because people have done some crazy things in the name of God and faith. Y'all get that? Y'all with me? In the name of God and faith, people have done some horrible things. Put love on top of that house. Let love be the roof because it is the very best motivation for who you are as a faith person. For what motivates you, right? You can always stop and ask yourself, is this thing I'm about to step out into because of my faith, is it really the loving thing to do, or is it something else? Is it coming from a different motivation within me? 1 Corinthians 13 says all these things about love. If you've been to a wedding, you've had a wedding, you've heard 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is... it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not angered, easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Church, if you're going to invite people into the home that is your life, then protect them with a roof of love. Love always does the right thing. Love always protects. And in the end, love is listed as being greater than faith. Greater than faith. Why would love be listed as greater than faith? Well, I think because someday we die, we pass on into the next life, we're before God himself. That's not faith anymore. We're with him. He's our reality. He's the moment. He is love, and we stand in the presence of that love. Dwight L. Moody, he was an evangelist in the United States, 19th century, who also founded the Moody Bible Institute, Moody Publishers. He said, "Faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy." He also said, "The world does not understand theology or dogma, but it understands love and sympathy." Friends, what is a home? What are we without love? What is religion without love? What is God if not love? Is that not the point of creation and the earth? Is that not the point of his Son, Jesus Christ, of his life and his death and his resurrection? Is that not the point of the church and Holy Communion and the fellowship of all believers? Now, as I wrap up, what kind of Methodist pastor would I be if I quoted a bunch of Baptists, Presbyterians, and Reformed evangelists and didn't end with a Methodist. Well, actually, he wasn't a Methodist. He was an evangelist in the Church of England who started the Methodist movement, none other than John Wesley himself. And Wesley famously said, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. This morning, I remember Baptists and Presbyterians and Reformed and Methodists, because even though we don't all think alike, we all get to love alike. We can all decide to love alike. Because I cover my house with love. Because John Wesley, he covered his house with love. Because Moody and Nee and Rogers and Mueller and the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and you can choose to cover your house with love. Build your foundation with the Word of God. Build those walls with your faith in God. And last, put on a roof because of your love of God, and all will be well in your home. All will be well. Your life won't be easy. I didn't say it would be easy. The Scriptures don't say it'll be easy. It will not be without difficulties. It will not be without challenges. But all will be well. Build your house on the rock. And in the spirit of the great evangelist, if you have not built your house upon the rock, today is that day. Today is the day to do just that. Today is the day to choose Christ, to believe His word, to have faith in God, and to choose love. And you should not wait until tomorrow to do what needs to be done today. This is the day for a rebuild. A rebuild with God. And with God, that's possible. You can be a new creation in Christ. So if you can bow your heads with me, and if you need to go on a rebuild project today, if you have not yet placed Christ in that foundational position, the Word of God in that foundational position, if you have not built walls out of faith or a roof out of love, then this is your moment to do just that. I'll give you just a moment to invite Christ into your life and to begin this rebuild project. Let's just take a moment for silent prayer. Lord, I thank you that you always speak to hearts way before I do. And you begin the rebuild project before I ever talk about it. And so for those that were ready to begin, that you placed in this place, I give you thanks. Lord, for the rest of us, we just need good reminders. We need reminders about being in the Scriptures. We need reminders that faith is not just a belief, but it becomes an action. And we need reminders that we surround all things, we protect all things with our love of you, that you are love. So Lord, help us all to build our homes, our lives accordingly. May the power of your Holy Spirit enter into our homes, into our hearts, and give us great guidance to the very end, just like you did, evangelists, great Christian leaders. Good Christian people long before us. Direct us in our building, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.